Welcome to the In Hope Podcast, where each week we address topics around faith, ministry, and leadership to help strengthen unity in the body of Christ. I'm your host, Preach, and I just wanted to give you a quick intro to share about this episode coming up. And this episode, it's a bonus episode. We're in between seasons, and I wanted to make it a bonus. The video quality isn't exactly where we were hoping for. Angles weren't quite right. We got a little blurry. But the conversation was so good, I wanted to make sure you get to hear this. So maybe you'll enjoy the blur. Maybe we'll look a little better with the blur. But more than anything, wanted you to be able to jump in, be part of the conversation, and enjoy this conversation with me and Brian. Getting started today. So Brian, I wanted to keep you on your toes, but I wanted to talk a little bit today about what it looks like to partner with In Hope. So kind of getting started, There's a lot of different things that we desire to see accomplished.
Yeah.
Right. And so we want to talk about what does it mean to partner with In Hope? What exactly are we trying to accomplish? What are the things that are coming down the road? And in what ways can people be involved? Because It's one thing to say In Hope is a ministry that strengthens unity in the body of Christ, that we're dedicated to that, right? To strengthening unity in Christ. I always get the question or the thought, okay, but how? And then so following up on the how, I mean, I can give again in the kind of another short statement of, well, we coach on unity, like we talk about it. We're willing to come and share insight on how you can develop unity within your organization or whatever it may be. And so we'll coach on unity, and then we also give towards efforts that are expressions of unity.
Yeah.
So there's lots of ministries that are trying to do great things that we are blessed to be familiar with and come in contact with. And every opportunity we can, we want to try to invest in those ministries to bless them with finances. And that also means that being able to put on different events, everything costs money. I wish that wasn't the case. I feel like life would be, you know, so much smoother and there'd be less anxiety. We'd be able to do the things that we enjoy doing more if everything didn't take a dollar bill, but everything takes at least one, if not hundreds or thousands of dollar bills, right? And so, but there's things that we want to do and that we're planning on doing that take that. So really, I just want to talk about, okay, what does it look like? What can we accomplish together? I think that's a big thing. What can we accomplish together as we work together as In Hope people who say, you know, I like what they're saying. I want to be a part of what they're doing. What are the things that we hope to accomplish together? So any thoughts right off the top of your head? I feel like we have some things. I got some notes down here that we can kind of work our way through. But just off the top of your head, when I bring that up, what comes to your mind?
I think the first things that popped in my head, and I was like, wait, I should probably like choose different wordings for it. Because people use this word in the wrong way. Yeah. It's not a bad word or anything. But I think, well, we should be tools.
Tools?
Are
you tool?
Like, I was like, man, maybe I should find a different word for that. But and when it comes to partnering with In Hope, Hope they see as that tool to, like you said, like coaching.
Yeah.
Be that. Let's have those meetings. Let's have those dedicated times together where, like, okay, why is it so hard for your organization to become united in this one accord?
Exactly.
Like how Christ wanted. And then why is it so hard for you yourself to unite with that church?
Exactly.
Or this organization. When you know that it's for the glory of God.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that people see that they partner with us, they could use us as those vessels, those instruments, those tools. Like, I should have used vessel.
I hear you. Tool. I hear you.
And I think me and you are willing to be those tools.
Oh, right? Absolutely.
I think
Absolutely.
And I think that's what the vision of In Hope is, not that In Hope will be glorified. I think the Lord is going to be glorified through the unity that our willingness of wanting to teach and even rebuke things that because that's where, like, a lot of people, when coaches don't tell you the nice things.
No.
Most coaches, they'll be yelling at you, you know better, but you go through practice, like, and like that, but this is the truth. When you're when you wanted to go to unity, and we know it's a huge issue, it shouldn't be,
but it is issue. It's a struggle. There's a lot of complications, or I should say stumbling blocks. There's a lot of stumbling blocks, a lot of walls that come up around this idea of collaboration and unity. Even within one organization, it's very common for an organization to talk about silos within that organization, much less between different organizations. Your church has likely multiple ministries, right? And a lot of times those ministries can become siloed, much less a church itself being siloed from other churches. So how do we break through those silos, those walls, those stumbling blocks, those doubts and fears of working across ministry lines and working across church lines and denomination lines and all these different things that can sometimes keep us from practicing and displaying the unity God calls us to. I think that's another thing when it comes to this idea of coaching, is we just, even in the podcast, this is one of our big goals, is that we want to inspire and remind and encourage people to keep unity as a priority. It is so easy to let that go to the back burner because we have so many things that we're trying to juggle and handle sometimes, but if we can be a reminder and an encourager of, okay, how does this help display unity? How is this going to affect unity between you, your ministry, and this ministry? What is your mindset as far as inviting others into this? What is your mindset as far as accepting or coming along other people's invitations to do what they're doing? And why do you think that way? And let's talk about these things. I think a huge benefit of coaching is just having the outside perspective that's willing to ask you the questions and go, you know, peel back the onion, right? Yeah, peel back the layers. Let's figure out, where is this coming from? Why? And are there other ways that we can think about this and go about this? Sometimes, and I honestly feel this, that I feel like most people know the right answer. Most people already know the solution, but sometimes we need someone to walk through why or why not we're acting on that.
Man, I think that goes hand in hand with that coaching analogy of that, because I'm not going to be dropping names here, but I remember being an athlete, and like I said, same thing. It was a teammate of mine who was just doing the same mistakes, but then we'll do the drills all together and he'll do it right. And then coach was telling him, was like, this is how you do it. And then his responses, which I feel like in the church is our response to the Lord, or when we hear another, somebody's trying to teach us to be in unity. It was like, no, I already know that.
But then
I remember my coach went, if you already know, why are you not doing that?
But why aren't you doing it?
And like you said, you have to get to the source of it. And I think that's the coach's job, is to do that. Like, get to that, to your athlete, your student, and see why. Like, hey, how's your home life? Hey, what happened in school today? Like, at least. That was my experience back then, because I heard, like, things have changed now. But that coach is cared.
Exactly. Back
then. And I think that's part of it, of us and being in Hope. Hopefully people see that we care enough.
Absolutely.
That we're like, okay, let's why is this happening? Let's see how your home life is. Let's see what the church hurt you might be dealing with.
Exactly.
And like, that might be hindering that unity.
Yeah.
And it's getting, like you said, getting to those layers and seeing, because you have to hit that.
Yeah.
You can't ignore it. You can't just, you can't even throw it out because it's tied to you.
Yeah, exactly.
And like I said, that's my experience from being coach.
Yeah.
But like how a lot of my coaches, especially my wrestling coaches were, you have to be coachable in the same time. So yes. Like in church talk, you have to be willing.
Yeah.
To be rebuked.
Yeah.
To be corrected.
I wish I could remember the name of this show because I'll talk about it with people sometimes. Was it like Restaurant Impossible? I know there's a Hotel Impossible, but before that, there was one, and I'm pretty sure it was Gordon Ramsay, right? Who would come into a restaurant and try to turn it around for people.
Oh, Kitchen Nightmares.
Kitchen Nightmares. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And so he'll come in and he'll fix things and he'll try to work things around. And what's funny is that a lot of times the people who work there were so grateful and so thankful for that, except maybe the person who was in charge, like except the owner, except the manager, except the chef, right? And everybody else would be like, oh, this is so much better. They're going along with it. But then the chef or the manager or the owner would step in and not go along with these different changes that everyone else is enjoying because they weren't coachable, right? And they want it to be done their way.
Yeah.
And they didn't agree. And then so there would be times where he'll step in, he'll get the restaurant on track, and they do great because they were coachable.
Yeah.
And then there were other times where he'd step in, things would be looking good, and then all of a sudden, this guy would throw it off track because they weren't coachable, and the restaurant ends up closing down.
Yeah.
You know, or just going back to his old ways. And yeah, you have to be coachable.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, that it takes... Not just, you can have the most phenomenal coach. Mm. You could have Phil Jackson, you know, coaching you. You could have, what is his name? Bill, the one that coached the Patriots and... you know who I'm talking about? Somebody's yelling at me right now. So they're like, how do you not know his name? Right?
I know who you're talking about.
You know who I'm talking about, right? So like, you could have these phenomenal coaches, but if you're not coachable... If the team isn't coachable, it doesn't matter how great they are.
Yeah.
Right. You can have Coach Carter, but if the you can have Boone, you can have Boone from Remember the Titans, but if the team isn't going to be coachable, it's not going to go anywhere.
No.
And so, yeah, that's a big thing there. And something else that you touched on is that you can't separate these different areas of your life from what's happening and how it affects it.
Yeah.
And true coaches recognize that.
Yeah.
I think there's something that is very important for us to remember and hold on to, especially as ministers, right? And I forget his name, and I've brought him up just recently in another conversation as well. I really should look this guy up. Preston, I need you to look this up, all right? And tell us the name. It's Emotionally Healthy Church. Emotionally Healthy Church. What's the author? Because he has, you know who I'm talking about, right?
I know who you're talking about.
He has Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. He has the Emotionally Healthy, who is it? Peter Scazzaro. Thank you. So good Pete, right? Peter Scazzaro. He has these books, just a line of books that talk about emotionally healthy discipleship, emotionally healthy spirituality, church, leadership, all these different things. And he really helps to touch in on this and highlight this fact of, look, if you aren't healthy emotionally, you will limit the health of your church and the growth of your church. Because how healthy you are emotionally is going to affect how healthy and strong you can be spiritually.
Yeah.
And so, and it's not only those two factors. When you have a coach, when you have a life coach, you have a leadership coach, you have someone coming to coach on unity and help you in your organization with unity. Yeah. We're not just going to say, okay, no, we're not like that one Saturday night skit where they come into the counselor. I don't know if you've seen this. I think it was Mad TV or Saturday Night Live or something. Lady comes in to a counselor. And he's like, oh, yeah, I charge, you know, $20 for the first 5 minutes and it's free after that. Mm. And she's like, oh, wow, okay. And he starts having her talk about, okay, so what's going on?
Mm.
And then he tells her, okay, I have two words for you. Stop it. Like, and that's it. He's like, stop it. Right? And And then she starts going into this, well, I can't. When I was young, he's like, oh, no. We don't go there. We don't do that. So she starts like trying to reflect on things that have happened in her life. And he's like, no. We don't go there. Just stop it. But we it's funny because there's a balance to it, right? We can't blame everything on things in the past, but there is this balance to it of, okay, but our lives aren't siloed and segmented in all these different ways. And if they are, that's going to end up causing some issues. There's going to end up being a crash and a crumbling in the future, because really what we're looking for is a holistic wellness and health. And so even when we're talking about unity within an organization, unity within your ministries and those types of things, if you're not emotionally healthy, that's going to be hard for you to work in unity with your other ministers and your co-laborers, right? If you aren't taking care of yourself and your physical health, you're not going to have the energy to work, right? Sometimes you can get away with it while you're young. You can get away with it in earlier years. But this is the thing. If you're not taking care of yourself and relieving stress and taking care of your physical health, that's going to catch up to you. Yeah. And it's going to end up starting to affect your ministry and your relationships. If you're not maintaining your wellness spiritually, right? Again, you talked about the idea of coach coming up and be like, I know, but why aren't you doing it?
Yeah.
I mean, there are things that we could all say, we know this is important. We know we should be doing it. We know we should be spending time in prayer. We know we should be spending time in God's word and really grasping it and getting it written on our hearts. We know that we should be evangelizing and sharing the good news with other people, but sometimes we're just not doing it. And someone coming alongside of you as a coach can help keep that at the forefront of your mind. And same thing, just as we're talking about with unity, we know we should be doing it, but a coach comes up alongside of you, helps to bring it back to the forefront of your mind and to be intentional about it. So I think a lot of it comes back to that. Okay, these are things that aren't just happening. I haven't developed the habit yet to where it just happens automatically.
Yeah.
This isn't part of my, automatic nervous system, right? Where it's just, I'm going to breathe rather than I'm thinking about it, right? We haven't gotten to that level yet, right? And so we need to work it into that level to where without thinking about it, we go to God's word.
Yeah.
Without thinking about it, we say, okay, I'm going to go the route of unity and collaboration and love and grace and mercy, rather than division or strife or, siloing off. We need to sometimes be coached and work in those habits so that it becomes natural.
No, and that's what it is. And that's why, that's what the definition of practice is. Practice is repetition.
Right.
That's what it is.
Right.
And that's why coaches, that's what they do in practice.
Right.
You repeat this move. You repeat it until it's natural.
Exactly.
And that's the dangerous part of when we're like, we know better, but we practice not doing it so much. That's our second nature.
Yeah.
We got to like flip it. No, that we got to do it so much that becomes the second
nature. Exactly.
Because it's vice versa. Like if you're not doing it so many times, you're practicing not doing it.
Uh-huh.
And that's why it's a hurdle. That's why it's such
a
struggle. Oh, just like when you practice just lifting weights for your biceps, right?
Yeah.
But you neglect the triceps. Yeah.
Yep.
Like you keep going, but then like it's become so strong, but this is so weak.
Yeah.
And when you want to change, it takes time.
It's hard.
It takes time.
Yeah. And now, especially this one, it's all out of balance and strong, and you're having a hard time even straightening it out.
So like, and that's what it is that repetition of repeating it and not doing it just to repeat. You're doing it for a purpose. Cause that's where like, going back to being an athlete, you didn't just do it just to do it. There's a purpose behind it. And ministry is the same thing.
Absolutely.
Well, if you really want to be united with your church, if you really want to be united with that different organization, even though you have your own, start with yourself.
Yes.
Start with who should you be practicing with?
Yeah.
With your prayer.
Absolutely.
Just repeat it.
Yeah.
Repeat it. It's that with the purpose that like I'm communicating with God.
Yeah, exactly.
Read your scripture. Why? Because that's how I know my God.
Yeah, yeah.
Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. Keep doing it. Because if you don't, if you leave it to dust, that again, you're practicing not doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
And you neglect it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when things pop up and you're like, why am I not strong enough, Lord? Well, you can't blame that on the Lord.
Yeah.
You are not coachable.
No, you aren't coachable, right? Oh, man. And that's... Yeah. looking at that idea of it starts with yourself and being united. I mean, I'm also thinking that within your life, we were talking about those different segments. If your life isn't coming together to make this holistic picture and your life is siloed and divided in pieces, it's very unlikely that you're giving your whole self to any one of these areas, including your ministry, including those that you're supposed to be loving on, including your family, including all these different things, right? And so you have to have this holistic health if you're going to be working in unity. And that's really what it takes, because unity is not a matter of, okay, I give a little bit of time here. Like I have this 5, 10, 20 minute, whatever it may be. I have this little piece that of my time that I give over here. And now I'm in unity with them. No, unity is a lot greater than that. And so, I mean, that's going to get into us talking about this. We're going to have an episode. We're talking about definition of unity. And what's it called? So, before, because I feel like we can go on this almost all day, right? And so we want to talk about this idea of, this is one of those things. We love this idea of, we want to come alongside other believers, help them to be a unifier. You can almost call it like unifier coaching, right? We're going to coach you to be a unifier. And that's something that as In Hope, we want to be able to offer and be able to give to people. And so that's one of the reasons why we even do the podcast. We're talking about, these are ways that you can be a unifier. You can practice unity and be a unifier. And then looking at beyond that, beyond this idea of coaching, us being able to give into acts of unity and displays of unity. And now In Hope, because we want to do that, we also set up ways of practicing that as In Hope. We have some ministries and goals that we have. Let's step outside of In Hope for a minute and talk about the ways that we try to reach out and give to other organizations. Because this is the thing. As In Hope, I think we're very intentional that we don't want to recreate wheels, right? There's enough wheel manufacturers out there, all right? We don't need to recreate a wheel. We feel like unity, that's our scope. That's where we're staying. A lot of people touch on it. Not too many people stay on it. We're going to stay there, right? And so we're going to talk about it. We're going to stay focused in on unity and give it that attention and intentionality that it takes. But when it comes to a lot of different great things that happen within the body of Christ, there are organizations that work with other organizations, rely on other organizations and other believers pitching in and doing their part. And they are displays of unity for the world, of the body of Christ doing something, coming together and doing things. And so we, as In Hope, we want to be able to give to them, right? We want to be able to support them. So something that we just recently talked about amongst our leadership team, we were saying, you know, moving forward, we want to make sure that we are actually being intentional and giving a tithe towards ministries that are practicing unity and displaying unity. And what I think is really interesting about this is that, I mean, pretty much 100% of our budget goes towards unity, right? Because either, you know, we're doing things to try to coach and put out podcasts, we're doing things with Widows Well, with One, where we're putting on different events and all these. And so again, we're going to get into stuff that we're doing that's all displays of unity. So it's all going towards unity in some aspect, right? But we also want to see ourselves as a blessing towards other organizations that are displaying unity in what they do. So we talked about this idea of, okay, let's set aside a tithe. You know, after each month, we're going to say how much came in. Okay, 10% of that. What ministry are we going to give it to? And so something that I like about that is, while we as a leadership team are going to have ministries in mind, I think that's a place for all of our In Hope family, right? All of our listeners, everyone who's like, yes, let's be unifiers. Let's partner with In Hope. If you're a partner with us, you give, you know, at least $2 a month financially. You know, you're putting down a boo-boo McDonald's fry and you're putting it into the kingdom instead. If you're doing at least that, then we want to hear from you.
Yeah.
Right? We want to hear from you. Mm-hmm. What are some ministries that you feel you want to nominate for us to consider giving that tithe to?
Hmm.
And so I think that's pretty cool. Thinking outside of NHOPE, what are some other things that you may think, okay, our listeners, people considering being a partner with us, saying we, or they are partners and they want to know what are we going to be helping make happen? What are some other things that you may think of?
I can only think, I think you already touched on the other thing I was thinking about was like them having a voice
talk a little more about it though. Go ahead.
Just being a partner, just having a voice and like, oh, have you heard about this ministry? Cause like, even though me and you were in ministries ourselves, yeah. We don't know all of the ministries.
No,
I think we're open to having those open ears, open yeah. mind. Because okay, let's contact them. Let's see their heart. Let's
get them on the podcast. Yeah,
yes, and like we could say like yeah. thank you to so and so, or like if you want to keep it anonymous, like thank you to our partners.
Yeah,
and I think that's an important thing is that they have a say.
Yeah,
in where they feel like this will be a benefit for everybody.
Yeah,
and when it comes to unity and or like these people need this help
yeah.
in unity because they're struggling in that aspect because
yeah.
we can't just take on everybody who's like let's join in with it. No, let's go for the ones who are struggling with the topic of
yeah.
unity
exactly.
And I'm pretty sure there's a lot of our listeners who know of organizations who struggle with that
yeah
and they're like I feel like if they will just be willing to have unity with other organizations,
yeah.
like it will just explode.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at the same time, this is only four pairs of ears right
yeah,
here.
Right.
Like, you know,
exactly.
And we can't listen to everything just by ourselves. We need the help of,
yeah.
of the ones who are partnering with NHOPE.
Yeah.
So we could reach others outside of NHOPE.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that made me think, I mean, even as you were talking, cause we're saying, you know, yeah, maybe we could bless them with that tithe, but yeah. we could also have them on the podcast,
yeah.
right? And there's other things that we could do to be a blessing to these organizations as well. So it's great because if we're inundated with, hey, here's some organizations that are practicing unity, that
yeah.
rely on the unity of the church and the church being able to help and partner together with them, and they're doing great things, then, well, it's not just a matter of they could be one of the 12 ministries we give a tithe to that year. Let's get them on the podcast. Let's highlight them. Let's post on our social media
yeah.
about them, right? Let's have conversations. And as we're talking with other ministries, I love it when we're at a function, we're talking with other ministers, and we can say, or we run into somebody at a function and then, you know, going back to our office or to our phones, we can say, hey, you need to connect with this ministry. They're yeah. in your wheelhouse. They're able yeah. to, you know, you've been looking for a ministry that can help, or you guys are trying to make this happen. Mm. For example, right? I know that there's a ministry that's like, hey, we want to make getting vehicles to people a thing, people who need vehicles, right? Well, hey, there's this other ministry over here that they fix up vehicles and they give them out.
Mm.
Have you guys talked?
Yeah.
let's set up a meeting.
It's building those bridges.
Exactly.
That's what that is. Because that's what really it is, because we talk about like there's always a wall. There's always yep. that division. I was like, no, we had to build those bridges.
Exactly.
I like using the analogy of the chain effect of like having a chain,
yeah.
different links.
Yeah.
They're different links, but where are they? They're linked together.
Exactly.
But they're separate, right?
Yeah.
Still, they're still independent.
Uh-huh.
But they rely on each other
exactly.
to not break, to not fall apart.
Mm.
And like in a bridge, like I guess you can make multiple bridges, but in yeah. the chain, like there's an effect
yeah.
to it. And
yeah.
that keeps going like, and then from one chain, it's like, oh, yeah, you could connect to this chain I just linked up with.
Yeah, exactly.
And that link, like, that's what it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
And,
man. And there's so much more that you're able to accomplish the more links come into that picture, right? And so, yeah, absolutely. And I think you said something that I feel like can be scary, and that sometimes these links, as they're coming together, now they're relying on one another.
They have to.
Yeah, and you have to rely on one another. And I think sometimes that's a scary thought, that I'm going to partner with this ministry in such a way that we rely on one another. And that if they don't carry their end, then that can really affect what we're doing over here.
Yeah.
And that can, you know, look bad. That can cause some bad things to happen. And I just want to think, I want us to think about it this way. If Jesus and the apostles weren't willing to become co-laborers with people because they couldn't trust them to fulfill their end of the bargain all the time. I mean, think about it, just even within our own relationships with Jesus, right? Yeah. If Jesus looked at us and said, no, I'm not going to entrust you or invite you into this, and I'm not going to make you a co-laborer with me, I'm not going to link up with you because some of the actions you take are going to end up hurting. There wouldn't be a body of Christ. No one would be in there, because all of us end up messing up at some point, end up hurting things. All of us have contributed to the fact that he needed to be crucified. All of us, right? Like, all of us have fallen short and caused serious hurt and issues. And it's something that, especially as ministers, we carry this weight.
Yeah.
Right? In this understanding of, we will be held accountable. And so that's nothing to take lightly. At the same time, realize that we are not perfect. Yet we have been invited in to partner with the kingdom. The kingdom didn't say no, because you're gonna hurt some people. We all have. You're gonna mess up and cause some things to not go right. We all have. Right? You're going to make some bad decisions. We all have. But we need to make room for that. And this is, I the comfort in it is this. Our God is big enough to overcome.
Yeah.
Any mistake, any failure. If we're doing these things in good faith and we're doing these things in obedience to him, if we're willing to act in love rather than fear, and something bad does happen, our God is big enough to take that and bring good from it still. Our God is big enough to overcome that and help the church continue to spread and move forward. So I think, and he's big enough to make sure you still get a paycheck. I had to throw that out there. He's big enough to make sure that you are still taken care of and provided for, and your family's going to be okay. Right? He's big enough to take care of you. We can trust in him. I think trusting in one another starts with us trusting in him. If we don't, we have to have that trust in him before we can get on to this playing field of us trusting and linking arms with one another.
And that's the beauty, right, of Jesus Christ. That he asked us to trust in him and have faith in him. And of course, he's never failed anybody.
Never.
But the beauty of it, he's like, be like me. That means,
on, Ryan, why you gotta go there?
That means he trusted in us. He had faith in us. He had faith in Peter, the one who denied him. He had faith in John. You named the 12. He set the example. He's like, be like me.
Wow.
And it hits different. When you realize, like, no, Jesus, if he set the example already.
Where we're supposed to be like him. You know, the person that's coming to my mind right now is Judas, because of that. He invited Judas in to the 12. Yeah. You know, this is a close circle, right? And he invited them into the 12. He washed Judas's feet. The night Judas was going to betray him, he washed his feet.
Mm-hmm.
And he, get this, he made Judas part of the board. He made him a treasurer.
Yeah.
He gave him the finances and put him over the finances, knowing that he was a thief.
Mm-hmm.
Man. Like, and we will withhold the opportunity for people to get in ministry and make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And he invited Judas in to the ministry.
And yeah, he
knowing he'd make some big mistakes.
He allowed himself to be vulnerable for a purpose.
Yeah.
And we have to become vulnerable for the purpose of the kingdom, and the kingdom has to be united. It cannot be divided.
Yeah.
And like, and that's a scary word as well.
Yeah.
Being vulnerable to
absolutely.
One another. Like you said, being reliant of somebody, but also being vulnerable to that, failure, to that deceit, to the lies.
Yeah.
But like you said, you said it perfectly, but our God is bigger than that.
Our God is bigger. He's able to overcome.
And we could use the example of Joseph with his Joseph with his brothers, and when they were afraid, like, oh, he's our father's now dead. He's now going to take revenge. I was like, no, what you intended to do evil, God used good out of it.
Yeah, exactly. man, he's big enough.
Yeah,
and we can do better with trusting one another if we trust Him.
Yeah,
if we trust Him. Ah. Okay, so a few things that are coming down the road for InHope, right? Some things that in partnering with InHope, when you're giving at least a couple bucks a month, partnering with us, some of the things that we're trying to make happen from that. Something that's on my mind right now a lot is this Change Your Community effort that we're partnering with Convoy of Hope for.
Mm-hmm.
Convoy of Hope is a great humanitarian organization that, for example, the hurricanes that just went through Florida and the South, they were there. They were there quick with truckloads of supplies, and because that's what they do. They bring in truckloads of supplies, help bringing in medical stuff, bringing in groceries, helping areas of disaster when there needs to be humanitarian relief. They do that both in the U.S. They do it overseas. Yeah. They set up communities and make sure people are fed, make sure people are taken care of. And so they are doing lots of great stuff, both stateside and across the world internationally. But something that they do within communities within the U.S. is not just disaster relief, but they come in and they help churches display the compassion of Christ by meeting the needs of that community.
Yeah.
So a lot of times they'll set up a big event, make sure everybody gets fed, make sure everybody goes away with groceries, make sure that people, you know, they can get free haircuts, family portraits, medical screenings, tennis shoes. Like, they're helping to meet the needs of a lot of these lower income areas and people who are struggling. And they do all of this so that people can get in connection with services in their community, their needs can be met, and then that they're prayed for. Because as everyone's leaving, they're always prayed for.
Yeah.
And they're given this opportunity to pray, to be in conversation about God, and to make connections with so many of the churches and that are there volunteering and praying with people. They can end up making a connection that will put them in a community of support.
Yeah.
That'll be able to support them in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
And so that in itself is a one-time big event, usually. But really the goal is, okay, how do we activate the services in the community, the believers in the community, the churches in the community to say, we're going to be mindful of and be practicing compassion and making sure that those who are in need, those who are struggling in our communities, that we can meet those needs and help them through that struggle. So something that they're starting off, really, this is a new thing for them, is they're doing these change your community cohorts and meetings where you'll bring together different leaders in the community and they really take the time to sit down and say, hey, what are the needs of our community?
Hmm.
Right? I think sometimes we may have a vague idea.
Mm-hmm.
And we may know some things that are out there, but we don't know, you know, really how bad is the drug situation in our community until we go and talk with law enforcement and we talk with medical services that are dealing with people overdosing. Yeah. We don't really know, you know, we know that drugs are a problem, that drugs aren't good, but we may not know how bad the situation is within the area. Something that was surprising for me is that within our area, not realizing until... Again, until I was exposed to it by those who actually work in the industry, is that trafficking is really bad. You wouldn't think that because it kind of flies under the radar, which, I mean, that's what trafficking does, right? Yeah. So it flies under the radar, it stays secret, but it's one of those things that, okay, with throughout our community, trafficking is an issue. And so, man, we need a... Is there something that we can do? You know, how do we play a role in that? And so there's lots of different things. Remembering hearing about the number of people who are couch surfing that don't really have a home, right? And they're staying with this friend and they go and stay with this friend and they stay in the car and realizing that the homeless situation is a lot worse than what we may think simply because we... don't see them, you know, on the curb or, you know, under the bridge doesn't mean that they're not there.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that they're not struggling. So all that to say, we come together where we, the idea of us working with Convoy of Hope and doing this cohort is we're going to bring together community leaders that are going to say, okay, let's partner up. Let's figure out what do we have? What are our community's needs? What resources are in our community that we can tap into and let's put together a plan so that we're meeting these needs.
Yeah.
And not just on a, you know, one time nice special event, we can get some pictures and throw it on the Instagram, but what can we put into place so that we're helping to change our community day by day over the long term moving forward. And so that's something that we're, trying to make happen here in this area is invite leaders in to have this meeting. Again, Convoy of Hope helps supply the training. They'll come in for us, but we need to feed these guys.
Yeah.
Like, so when you partner with In Hope, it's one of those things to where, okay, now we have, since you're partnering with us, we're able to dedicate time towards gathering these ministry leaders together to do this event, and we're able to feed them to make this event happen.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's one of those things. And I'm real excited about that one. I think that's going to be a good one.
And I heard of like their training process and they're even like trying to get some of the youth groups where they're already getting them involved.
Yeah.
And I heard that their vision is to, like, since they're already starting at this age, by the time they're adults and working adults, contributing to the society.
Exactly.
They continue with
a habit. Yeah.
The habit of, like, showing the love of Christ.
Yeah.
To the needy.
Yeah.
The ones who need something in their community. Yeah. Like you said, who better than the ones who are living next to them?
Exactly.
Their neighbors.
And I think that's so big because more than hearing about the gospel, our kids need to see the gospel.
Come on.
Our kids, our teens, young adults. One of the reasons I feel like young adults, one of the biggest reasons personally, I feel like there's usually a big falling away from young adults when it comes to the faith is because while they're not, you know, being forced to go to church anymore and now they have to have this habit and put in that habit on their own, I think one of the biggest reasons we have a falling away for young adults is because they start to become more aware of the hypocrisy. They start to become more aware of where what is taught within scripture and issues within society and how things aren't lining up. They become, what's the word? They become disillusioned. They become, man, I can't think of the word, but it's like they are realizing where they thought the church was this great thing.
Hmm.
And they've kind of been given this picture of almost like idealistic and perfectness.
Hmm.
Now they're starting to see the flaws.
Hmm.
Their eyes are more open to the flaws and the issues and whatnot. And so sometimes that can end up becoming demoralizing. It causes them to second guess and question. Hmm. But if they're able to, if they can see the church practicing the gospel more, if we see the church practicing the gospel more as kids and as teens and as young adults, then we're able to compute, okay, these people aren't perfect, but they are really doing. They're trying to do good and follow Jesus's teachings. And so they can take that and realize, I'm not perfect either.
Yeah.
Right. But I'm going to try to do and follow Jesus's teachings. And so I think a lot of times young adults will gravitate towards areas where they feel like they're making more of it, more meaningful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where they're making more of meaningful steps, impacts, whatever it may be. And shame on us if society doesn't see the church as a place where you can make the most meaningful impact.
Yeah. And like, I kind of chuckled at that
because
it's true. They do tend to see that, like, it's not aligning. But in the same time, like I tend to look back, I criticize myself a lot when I preach. And there's a lot of like good preachers
out there.
I know, but there's a lot of good preachers in there, and like a lot of young adults I've heard that the ones who have fallen away or are thinking of like leaving the church, they're like, it just feels like they're good salesmen, but they're not like doing something. And then when I look at myself, like I was like, am I a pretty good salesman when it comes to the gospel? But like I'm the opposite. I'm like, man, I always talk about like the rough things that come in Christianity. Like, I'm telling you, like this is gonna happen to you.
Yeah.
Like after water baptism, you will suffer.
Yeah. You will suffer. This is part of being a Christian.
And I feel like I do that too much. I still point out like the peace and like the good buzz. Like I'm like, man, if I was a salesman, like I'll be the worst salesman. But like I think like I'm not like boasting about myself, but I think that's what Christ did, right? This is why so many didn't follow him when he was in his ministry.
Come on now, John 6.
They turned away, and it's like Jesus wasn't a salesman.
No,
he talked about the struggles that were going to happen, but he wasn't a hypocrite. He was still praying for people. He was healing people. Yeah. He was feeding people.
Yeah, like, and he was willing to suffer himself.
Yeah,
he didn't say if you don't bear your cross and follow me, if you don't forsake and you know you don't hate your mother, your brother, your sister, meaning if you don't love me so much more than them, then you're not worthy to be my disciple. He wasn't just saying those things because he's saying you have to do those things if you're actually following me.
Yeah.
Because that's what I'm doing.
Right?
Yeah. Those are the things that I'm doing. I am loving my Father and loving God and loving this mission more than, you know, spending more time with my mom and my brothers. Right. I'm doing this more than trying to, you know, get myself a wife and hang out and whatnot. All these different things he actually showed to the point of he literally carried that cross, right? And was crucified on it in a horrible way. So I think it's interesting. I would encourage you, you know, not to stop talking about the suffering.
I'm not gonna do that, but
it's just one of those things where I think we can shy away from that as believers. Sometimes we can shy away from that because we want to lean more towards the feel good. But the glory that we're promised is that
it's so much more.
But it's also, they say, if we are crucified with him, we'll be glorified with him. When we suffer with him, that's when we make our way to that glory. It's not, you know, smooth sailing up to that, but it's the narrow road, the hard road, the difficult road. And he helps us along the way.
And that was his teaching. That was his living. Yeah. And then we see it and the effect that I had with his 12.
Yeah.
And those 12 was when they taught the same thing. Like,
exactly.
Oh, you're going to suffer. I'm like I always laugh at the epistles, the Pauline letters.
Yeah.
You know, from Paul. I was like, you guys are doing so great. Where is homeboy? In prison. After being whipped.
Right.
He's there saying, I love you guys. You guys are doing great. Yep. Be strong in the faith. Man, how do you find that happiness?
Right.
To, even though all this is happening, and I think that by me being that terrible salesman, it's producing those the teens are not seeing the hypocrisy of the church.
Yeah.
I think I'm making them realize that no, these things are gonna happen. It sucks. I mess up.
Yeah,
and PI messes up, your leaders messes up, you guys mess up. I was like, don't come and be telling me that you're perfect.
Yeah, exactly, right.
Because I'm automatically not going to believe you. I was like, but practice what the Lord has commanded. Obey his commands. And that's the thing. If you obey the commands, preach the gospel.
Yeah.
To everybody, especially the lost.
Mm.
Because to the ones who are saved, they're saints. Equip the saints.
Yeah. Exactly.
Help one another. Equip each other. Mm. Again, linking.
Yeah, linking.
And make disciples.
Exactly.
That means be patient with that new believer.
Yeah.
You might think they know all scriptures like you do. No,
they don't.
It's going to take years.
Right? And you still don't know them.
Exactly. So be patient with them. That's what making disciples is. Yeah. Jesus, oh my gosh, He was patient with Peter.
Yeah. Tell me about it. All of us. Right? So patient.
And who are we to not be patient with somebody who gave their life and they're like, oh, they keep messing up.
Exactly.
No. Okay, let me help you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you want the same grace.
Exactly.
So why not give it to your fellow disciple who just gave their life?
Yes. Yeah. Reflect that mercy that's been given to us, that patience that's been given to us. Man. So what's it called? We talked about this convoy of hope. I'm looking. I have some notes right here. We talked about this convoy of hope cohort, this Change Your Community effort that we're going to be doing. I encourage people to look into that if you feel like, I can put time, effort, and energy towards making that happen in our community. And let us know if there's also ways that we could help. See, this is one of those things. Again, being in hope, we want to be able to give towards unifying efforts. That happens when we have partnerships. If we're able to, we want to be able to give towards unifying efforts so that, as everybody's pitching in and maybe we have a partner who's like, hey, we're actually going to, we heard about that Change Your Community effort and we reached out and we're going to be doing one too, but we're a really small operation and we don't know that we're going to be able to pull off, hosting or whatever it may be. That we would be able to say, let us help you.
Yeah.
Let's make this happen, right? And let's stay in touch. Let's have you guys on the podcast. Let's stay in touch. Let's make sure this is something that continues over not just one event, but over days, months, and years that your guys' community is being changed. All right.
And that's the good thing about becoming a partner, right? They're going to get those updates, where those tithing is coming, where that love is being shown.
Exactly.
We can't hit everybody, but where we can,
you're going to see where that impact is happening. Absolutely. Absolutely. And then so, things that we've talked about before, we've talked about Widow's Well.
Yes.
We've talked about One. Mm-hmm. Again, one of those things with One is we want to be able to pull together ministry leaders and have the conversation. Part of coaching on Unity is one of those things where we're just trying to have the conversation. Mm-hmm. It's one of the reasons I'm constantly telling you guys to like, share, comment, be part of the conversation. We want you to be part of the conversation. Mm-hmm. And so we want to have these conversations about unity and what it can look like and have the conversation so we can take step forwards to doing things together. And that's one of the things that we want with One. We want to be able to pull together young adult leaders, ministry leaders, and just come together over a lunch, come together over a dinner and say, hey, let's have these conversations. What would it look like for us to partner together to reach young adults in our community? What does that look like? So that's one of those things we want to see happen with One. Widows Well. We love helping single moms and widows. Sometimes, I mean, we've helped people with mortgages, with bills. We've helped people get things fixed around their homes, helped with school supplies, put up Christmas lights, all different kinds of things, to where, again, being able to do that comes from a place of we have people partnering with us so we can put the time and we can put the finances towards making sure that lawn gets mowed, making sure, you know, that washing machine gets replaced, making sure whatever it may be, and then connect these ladies to a church. We want these things. You mentioned something earlier, which I think is really important to emphasize, is that a lot of these things, it's not, this is happening by In Hope. And, you know, In Hope's going to be in lights, brought to you by In Hope or anything like that. Our goal is to highlight other ministries because we're not a church.
No.
Right. And so, for example, when it comes to Widow's Well, we want to highlight a church and say this gift is coming from this church.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We may be putting the finances towards that and we get to celebrate that as In Hope. But the connection in the community is going to come from that that single mom or that widow being connected to a church that was the gift was on behalf of, and them finding community and lifelong support there.
Yeah.
Right. And so really our hope is to uplift and, you know, highlight other ministries. And so same thing with, you know, that Convoy of Hope deal. Our hope, our goal in the future is that it's not a brought to you by In Hope, but if there's a big event, for example, if we do one of those big outreach events where people are coming in and food trucks and whatnot, well, that's going to be brought to the community on behalf of the churches of the Treasure Valley, not on behalf of of Hope, right?
And that's why I think I like the, even though like I was iffy about the wording of tool, like well, we're just going to be the tool, but what we're going to be highlighting is the helping hand.
Exactly.
Which ministry is helping, what church is helping.
Exactly.
With, and that's what's going to be highlighted.
Exactly. So. Yeah, absolutely. And then so one last thing that I want to talk about is the Discover Hope 5K. I'm so excited about that one too. I know I keep on saying I'm excited, but I am. I'm just, we got some good stuff coming. I mean, what can I say? What can I say? So the Discover Hope 5K is another one of those areas to where when we partner, we're helping to make this happen. And this is an event for partners.
Yeah.
This is people who have decided to partner with us financially, organizations that are deciding to partner with us financially. And what this is it's meant to be kind of like an expo, a display of the Christian organizations, Christian-owned businesses, all throughout the area, throughout the Treasure Valley here. We want to bring as many and all. I want all of us. I want all of us to get there, to send somebody, right? Every organization with a tent, all of the Treasure Valley coming out, all of our believers and people throughout the community invited into this. Because one, this is a 5K event, so it's just going to be fun, right? There's going to be so many different organizations there for people to get to know the organizations in their community. But our thing is that this is for partners, and we're highlighting Christian organizations, Christian-owned businesses. So while you're going to find out about so many different services and organizations and things happening, every single one of them come from a biblical basis. And so it's going to be so exciting because this is like a huge Christian expo with a 5K run. And I'm really excited about that. I've always wanted to do a 5K like sporting event or something like that. I put out the challenge in another video. I think it was one that just released a little while ago. But I put out this challenge of, I'm considering, and I'm really leaning towards this, I want to run 25 Ks this next year and make the Discover Hope 5K the 20th one. And this is why. Not for fun or for giggles, because I do not look forward to doing this. It will definitely be a challenge for me to do this.
Like, who likes running? Right.
Some people do. I'm just not one of those where it's like, yeah, sign me up for all this. Right. I've always said a 5K is the farthest I'll go. So that's why it's going to be broken up into 5Ks. But I'm going to try to do 20 of them. Hmm. And the reason why is because the other day I was watching a movie unplanned, and it talks about a former director of Planned Parenthood and just kind of how she went from a pro-life family to pro-choice to being a director back to pro-life. Hmm. And after watching that movie, I probably could have gotten some sleep just thinking, man, you know, okay, I need to do something. I want to do something. It just struck my heart. It's like, I want to do something to help reduce abortions. Mm. And my mind messed me up because it made me look up how many abortions take place in the U.S. And that's what would not let me sleep. When I found out the number of abortions happening in the U.S. this year, every single month, or 98,000 abortions every month happening in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And that just shook me. That rocked me. And I was just thinking, what can I do? What can we make happen with In Hope? And so I was thinking about this thing of, okay, look, I wish we did. Right? I'm telling you, if we had it again, we're trying to build up partnerships. We're asking you to partner with us. We're sharing these things because we want people to know that this is a good investment, what you're partnering into. And we're going to be making things happen. And these are some of the things that we want to make happen. Some things that we would do if we had the means. If we had the means, I would have called up the leadership team right then, woke all of y'all up because I was up late, just my mind like reeling. And I would have woke all y'all up late and been like, drink some coffee, be fully awake for this. I want to write a check for $98,000.
Mm-hmm.
I want us to write a check to be able to fundraise and give $98,000, $1 for every single abortion that's happening in the month, right? If we could raise $98,000 and give it to an organization that helps reduce the number of abortions.
Mm.
So, I mean, we have some great ones in this area, like Lifeline, Stanton, right? Some great organizations that we could be happy to write a check to. And this also gives us an opportunity to learn about some other ones as well.
Yes.
Right. And learn about what some other organizations are doing to help reduce abortions and highlight them and share them. But that's why I want to run 20, because to run nine. So the idea is the fundraise. So I was thinking I'll run 98,000 miles or miles, 98,000 meters. Right. I was saying, okay, 98,000 is the number. So I'm going to run 98,000 meters and see if people will pledge to give so much for every 5K I complete. Mm. And so that it adds up to I'd hit 98,000 meters in the 20th 5K. So that would be at the Discover Hope 5K. So I'm really leaning towards doing that. But again, that's something that we want to make happen, but we need partnership.
Yeah, we need partnership. We need that word spread out.
Yeah.
And
people willing to say, look, again, our partnerships with us is as low as $2 a month.
Yeah.
There's people that can do a lot more. But every dollar helps. Yes. Right. So that's why we always bring up it can be as little as $2 a month. Not because that's our goal is for everybody to give $2, but to say, even if that's all you could do
for this month,
do
it. Yeah.
If that's all you could do, do it. If you can do more, do more. There's some of y'all, you could write 200 a month. There's people out there that could write 2,000 a month, and it wouldn't affect their budget. Like they'd still be shopping at Gucci. But look, if you can do it. Help us to reach these different goals, to make these things happen. Help us partner with us in strengthening unity in Christ, right? And so those are some different things that we have going on, both, you know, what we do with it outside, what we do with it inside in Hope. And I mean, I think that's it. I want to jump into this next conversation, but I feel like we need a little break. I want to jump into this idea of defining unity. And that's going to lead into a three part, at least part. So we already talked about that, but I want to jump into this conversation about defining unity. Before we do that, we should probably close this one off, right? Because we ain't Joe Rogan. People ain't going to be listening to us for 4 hours.
Yeah.
but any last words, any final thoughts, Brian?
No, not much. It's just like, I really hope that you guys are considering becoming partners with us, and you will see where the money is going, where the love of Christ is being shared, where the coaching is happening, like you name it. You're going to get those updates, and you're going to see the benefit of
absolutely
of it. And like I said, and hope is not being lifted up, but the glory of God is being lifted up in this. So, and I hope you guys see that. That's where our hearts is, that we're just those vessels, those tools, those instruments for the Lord. And like, hopefully these ministries as well get to see that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that reminds me, I know I've shared this idea with you before, and that's something, it's something that NHOPE is willing to do and be the guinea pigs on. We would love this, and we want to see something like this happen more and more. But we would love to put together, like, implement a discipleship internship where somebody, and so let's talk about it with NHOPE as an example, right? This is something that we're looking for. And maybe you guys, maybe you know somebody, right? Reach out, because if there are young believers out there, you know, they're in just getting into college, just graduated high school, or you know, they're finishing up college and they're leaning this way, and they're saying, I want to get some ministry experience. We would love to have one come and intern with NHOPE. And the way that this would work is, I want us to push past the programmatic type of thing and say, no, we're going to do old school dust of my rabbi on my garments type of discipleship. The way that the apostles walked with Jesus and followed him, that first century discipleship method that really caused the church to explode.
Yes.
That's what we want to see happen. We want to step into that field. So for example, within NHOPE, somebody's probably going to sleep right here on this floor, right? Because we're in the home office right now. This is the home studio, right? So somebody's going to take over this floor right here. Nah, there's a guest bedroom downstairs. Somebody's going to use one of, you know, move in if possible. If not, they're going to be driving to the house early, because when I wake up at 4 o'clock, right, for prayer and reading my Bible, you're going to be praying and reading your Bible with me. Like, that's what we do, right? When I go to the meetings, you're going to the meetings with me. When we're working on ministry stuff, you're working on ministry stuff with me. You're going to get your hands in everything my hands are in. And we're going to practice sharing the load. And we're going to have intentional discipleship conversations. We're going to talk about the way things are going and what we were thinking and why we said it this way and how maybe we could have said it that way. And we're going to spend as much time as possible together. And the only time when I don't want you around me is when I'm on my dates with my wife. Okay. You're going to have to go hang out with your friends. So if I'm on a date with my wife, right. Then you're going to, I'll let you know, right. We got a date planned at this time. That means you going with your friends at that time. All right. But we are going to really get hands on, and have very intentional discipleship, to where you're not just being taught things, you're seeing things, you're asking questions, just like we saw with the disciples. Lord, what did this mean? What was that? Don't call me Lord. That would be weird. I will absolutely kick you out. We have failed. If you start calling me Lord, we have failed your discipleship. But I was like, what does this mean? Like, what does that mean? But anyways, we want to see something like that happen. I think that would be amazing. And again, that means another mouth to feed.
Yeah.
Right. That may mean travel expenses. That may mean lots of different stuff, but I would love it to where that's not a financial burden on the intern.
Yes.
Right. The person that's coming to do that, I would love it if it wasn't a financial burden on them, because if they're having to go and work every day to make up that money, well then.
Yes.
You know, we're missing the point here. Mm-hmm. They're not being as involved. They're not going to all the meetings. They're not doing all the ministry stuff, because they're missing a lot of things.
Yeah.
And so I would love it not to be, again, I hate when finances are the obstacle. Yeah. That should not be the issue for ministries.
Yeah.
We are a kingdom with a king that is beyond measure in provision, right? And I honestly feel like, I honestly think this, I think there's more than enough finances within the kingdom and amongst the kingdom's friends, because God will be using people who even aren't in the kingdom, but he has, you know, their hearts and whatnot, just like he used so many kings in the past. I mean, he used the wealth of Egypt to fund Israel, right? He uses the wealth of Babylon and
the same gold to make the tabernacle,
right? To raise the tax. So he'll use friends of the kingdom, right? Mm-hmm. But I feel like there is more than enough provision within the kingdom and more than enough provision within the friends of the kingdom, our allies, right? Yeah. To where no ministry should have finances as a concern, as an issue. Mm-hmm. That shouldn't be an obstacle.
Yeah.
But it means us being generous and opening our hands with those things, right? Because while we have it, it's a lot of times it's not being shared and spread. Just like the talents and the gifts that are within the kingdom, we have them, but a lot of times they're not being spread and shared. Just like, you know, all of the ability to evangelize, all of the ability to disciple. We have a lot of people who are well-grounded, but a lot of times what they know isn't being shared.
Yeah.
Right. And so we have the ministries to meet this need and that need and this need, but a lot of times we don't know and it's not being shared. And so unity begins with awareness, right? Mm-hmm. And then a step beyond that is we become aware and we step into that partnership.
Yes.
Right. We step into saying, I have something or they have something. Let's make a connection. Let's make this happen. And so we're asking this whole, I feel like this has been a really fun episode.
Yeah.
And it's funny because we're talking about what does it look like to partner? And we touched on so many different things and really we wanted to share. And I think that's great because they're kind of everyone's getting a heart idea of what we're after and what partnering with InHope looks like and the things that we're trying to accomplish.
And that's what I feel like today was like.
Yeah.
They're just seeing the heart.
Yeah.
And this is why, and I think that's that makes it easier as well for partners. They're not just like blindly like, let's see where this goes. No, like your ears are seeing where the heart is. So.
Yeah. And if you be part of the conversation, comment, DM, right? If you're like, I want to talk. Maybe you have some questions, you have some reservations, you want to know some things. DM me, email, right? Hit us up. You can go to the website. You got phone number. You got email. You can leave a little message there on the contact sheet. You can get on to Instagram, YouTube, comment. Let us know. Let's have a conversation if you need to have a conversation.
Yeah.
But seriously, consider partnering with us to strengthen unity in the body of Christ. All right. Let's close in prayers. We're going to keep on going. We're going to keep people here. Like I said, we're not on that Joe Rogan status. people can't look at this face that long. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Father, we just thank you so much. We thank you. And as we do this, as your joy and peace fills us, as you help us to abound in your hope, to grow in knowing, loving, and serving you, as we walk out being more unified, walking out the unity that you've given to us, as we display it, Father, we ask that as your word says, the world would know who you are. Lord Jesus, that the world would know you were sent by God, the creator of heaven and earth, and that you loved us so much. That Father, you loved us so much, you gave him so that we may have eternal life.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord. You are amazing and you are worthy. And so we thank you. We thank you for the privilege and the opportunity of being able to partner with you, come alongside of what you're doing. This is nothing without you. Our lives are nothing without you. And so we just ask that you invite us in, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, to be a part of what you're doing. Guide and bless us, each and every single one of us. And in hope as a ministry, guide and bless us to honor and please you, to bring a smile to your face, to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Bless you guys. Have a good one.
See you guys.